Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and if there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Have a Bible question? Give us a call, 844-322-2742. Same number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Boy, this is just such a awesome time of the year for believers in Christ. Just the whole Christ event, the death, burial, and resurrection is our story. And it's what gives us the confidence and assurance to live in this world. It anchors our souls. It just is everything for us because Jesus lives, we live. And there is so much that went on in this particular week in Jesus' life. You know, he marched into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry there, and was being hailed as king of the Jews. And then, you know, several days later, they're all saying, crucify, crucify. But there was also a time where he gathered his disciples, and many believe that much of John chapter 13 all the way through 17 are a part of this Last Supper that he had with those particular men, imparting to them all these various truths and then preparing them for what was up ahead. And we celebrate that. That's what Maundy Thursday is all about, is a remembrance of that Last Supper, and really a remembrance of the command that he gave to the disciples, a new command. And we read that in John 13, 34 and 35. And a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So here in this Last Supper, as he's imparting information, he really brings them to this conclusion. There's so much more that he adds to it about the fact that it's good that he's going to go away, and that when he does, he's going to send the Comforter, and he gives the illustration of the vine and the branch and all sorts of wonderful stories and information about what was going to happen after the death, burial, and resurrection. But I think here is really the pinnacle of that discussion. A new command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, this doesn't seem like a new command, does it, Richard? I mean, you look in the Old Testament, we see that the Old Testament hinges on those two great laws, the two greatest commandments, that we love the Lord our God, and that we love others as we love ourselves. So what makes this new in comparison to those?
Well, especially in the context of love others as we love ourselves, this is love others as we have been loved. Focus is completely different. It's not something that I'm coming up with myself, deciding that, well, Richard, you're a nice guy, so therefore you can be Bob's friend or something. I mean, this is the imperative of God himself living inside of us now by the Holy Spirit, saying, I love you more than you could possibly know. I want you to let me love others through you. Completely different focus.
Yeah, completely. And in many ways, it raises the bar, doesn't it? You know, as we love one another, you know, as I would have somebody love me, you know, that's how we're to treat others. That's kind of the golden rule. Well, how I would treat others or how I would have others treat me just doesn't compare to how God treats me.
Yes.
I mean, there's a world of difference between those two. And so here Jesus is raising the bar and giving us this new command. And that's why it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to bring this about in our lives. First, the Holy Spirit has to clue us in as to how much God really loves us and what that looks like. And again, we must realize that the love of God is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's not something that he just has in his heart toward us. He rolled up his sleeves and got into action on our behalf. That's what love is. It's really a verb as far as God is concerned.
Yes.
It's exercised in patience and kindness, in perseverance and hoping the best and all of those sort of things. That's what God's love is for us. It's an action. And so he says, I want you to have that same agape love for others as I have loved you. That's why this is a new command. And when we have that love for one another, then the world's going to look in and say they really were the disciples of Christ. They really are following the mandate that he has given. And that's where this word mandate comes from the Latin word that means mandate. And so it's a celebration of this new command that we have in Christ that's only possible to live out through this new covenant that we're a part of today. So the new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's what this good news of the gospel is going to lead us to as far as what our lives are going to look like as we abide in the vine of Christ.
Thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. We'd love for you to join us by phone. If you have a question, something you'd like to add to this part, a particular part of the conversation, or perhaps a new topic, Bible question you may be holding on to, 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. We await your calls. In the meantime, guys, a question from Steve, and this is a reference to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, 1 Timothy 1, 9. Steve writes, he's from Roanoke, Virginia, listens on our great Washington area affiliate WFAA, says, I'm not real clear on the statement I hear that we as Gentiles were never given the law, it was only given to the Jews. Is 1 Timothy 1, 9 speaking to Jews, or does it also include Gentiles? If we Gentiles were never given the law, how are we under it?
Well, that's a great question. And I think it's very important for us to really dive into that and really see what the Word of God has to say. So when we talk about the law, the Mosaic Covenant, we're talking about those Ten Commandments that were engraved on stone. We're talking about 613 other ordinances that God gave to Moses. And we have to take a look at when that happened and who those commandments were specifically directed toward. So the Jews were in Egypt. They had been there for 400 years. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. God raised up Moses to be the deliverer. And through the Exodus, they escaped. They were set free. We know the parting of the Red Sea. After they cross through the Red Sea on dry land, they march on, and they come to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, God gives the law. And it's a covenant. It's a bilateral covenant, which means it's a covenant between two parties. The new covenant is just a covenant with only one party, God himself. And we happen to be the beneficiaries of all the things that he has put into that new covenant. The old covenant was bilateral. So God said to the people, if you will obey my statutes and my commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And Moses read that to the folks, and they responded to Moses, all that he has commanded we will do. Then blood was shed and sprinkled on the tablets and on the people, and the covenant was entered into. It became effective. But it was between God and the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And it had a time length to it from Mount Sinai, when it was originated, until Christ. And so that was the duration of that Mosaic covenant. And when Jesus died on the cross, as we talk about on tomorrow's broadcast, and we certainly encourage our listeners to tune in for a very special edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow as we talk about exactly how Jesus brought the old Mosaic covenant to an end. So that was specifically for the people of Israel. But it was a shadow, in some respects, of this universal truth that covered all of us, yes, that the wages of sin is death. So all of us were under the law of sin and death. that's what came into existence when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That brought in that curse, and we were all under that curse of the law of sin and death. And the Mosaic Covenant helps us to understand that reality.
Yes.
And so when we come to grips with our real condition, then that law has done its purpose. And when we turn to Christ by faith, we're set free, not even really from the Mosaic law, but from the universal law of sin and death.
Yes.
So that's how it applies to Gentiles. So both Jew and Gentile, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That applied to the Jew. It applied to the Gentile. That was our problem. We needed to be set free from that law of sin and death. And that's what the blood of Jesus does. That's what the resurrected life of Jesus does, in the fact that he conquered sin, he conquered death, and by sending his Spirit, he sets us free from that law of sin and death.
Yeah, there's a relatively contemporary example of this in the life of C.S. Lewis. Back when he was a young man, he was a real skeptic. He didn't want anything to do with God. He thought religion was ridiculous and all of that. But as he learned more about the world in which he lived, and especially as he saw the world outside of Great Britain, he discovered that there were some universal truths that had nothing to do with Jesus. But he said, everywhere I went, I discovered that it was wrong to kill people. Everywhere I went, I discovered it was wrong to steal someone's property. And he said, there has to be something behind that universality. And the only thing he could come up with is, well, these Christians are right. There's a God out there, and there's a guy named Jesus Christ who dealt with that stuff. So that's the proper use of the law.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Steve, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose but can't get to the phone, why, we encourage you to drop us an email. You can pose your question by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. That's simply bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to talk with our listeners just a few minutes today. This is the most significant time of the year. The world out there needs to hear about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We see all sorts of terror going on around the world, the latest in Belgium. And we're all scratching our heads saying, what in the world is going on? Well, here's the answer to that. It may sound simplistic, but it's really, really profound, and it's really spot on. The world doesn't know God. That's the problem. The world doesn't know God. And the reason it doesn't know God is because it refuses to take a look at Jesus Christ. Because when we look at Jesus, we're going to find out what God is really like. That's why he came, to make God the Father known to mankind. And so if the world is going to take on a new direction, it's going to reverse course and start going down a road that has a moral compass to it, that, you know, where people act with a sense of integrity and virtue and actually choose to do the right things, then we have to take a look at the one true God that has been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. That is the answer. It's the answer to the individual problems that we have in life. We're dead. We need life. Jesus is the solution to that. He was raised so that we could be raised from the dead with him. We have problems of guilt and shame. Well, Jesus took away our sin so that we could be in his sight, holy and blameless. And we could get rid of the guilt and shame and fear that haunted us or haunts us even to this day. So on an individual basis, Jesus is the answer. We look at marriages and families. How are we going to get along within those close boundaries? And the answer is Jesus Christ. When we allow him to be the foundation for our relationships one with another, we start to see life and relationships actually working and being carried out the way God has designed them to be. We actually start treating each other with kindness and with gentleness and with respect and dignity and all of those sort of things. Well, then you just keep expanding that out, and you see that Jesus is really the answer to the world's problems. And that's why we need to continue to proclaim him. That's why there needs to be a voice out there every day pointing people to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At Basic Gospel, there is that voice. That's what we've committed ourselves to. That's what we feel that we've been called to, simply to proclaim the good news about Jesus. We know the gospel has power. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of salvation.
Yes.
The gospel message itself has the power to bring life to those who are dead in sin. The gospel message itself has the power to take away the sins of the world. The gospel message itself has the power to transform people into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we have seen time and time again in our 30-plus year history that as this gospel message is sent out, that it engages people in this spiritual process of transformation, of hearing, believing, and living the good news out in day-to-day life. And folks, this message needs to be supported.
Yes.
If this message has touched your heart, if this message has changed your life, would you get behind it so that others can hear it as well? A contribution to Basic Gospel will be a statement that you are making. I want to be a part of the solution. I know what the problem in it is. I know who the solution is, and I want to be a part of helping bring the solution to this world at large. So will you give a gift, especially in light of this season that we're in as we celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ? Will you give a gift today to Basic Gospel so that others can be connected to that story, so that others can experience resurrection life, so that others can experience hope and live confidently in this world today? We would so greatly appreciate it. And more than us, the people out there who are looking for answers, who are stuck in the mud, who don't know where to turn or who to turn to, they will be eternally grateful because somebody like you chose to give so that they could hear.
Absolutely. And there are three good ways that you can join us with your donation. You can do that right now by going online to basicgospel.net. Click donate on any page there at our website, basicgospel.net. You can call right now and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Or you can address Basic Gospel with your check by writing to us at Basic Gospel. And here's the address, 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, 751 Hebron Parkway. That's Suite 310 in Lewisville, Texas. That's 75057. Lewisville, Texas, 75057. The address again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. As I said, either of those ways is a wonderful way to support this ministry. And Bob, thank you for explaining the importance of Basic Gospel being on the air every day.
Just to let our listeners know, those of you who like to give online, this week we've brought online a brand new giving page. It is responsive. So if you are tied to your cell phone, like my daughter and son-in-law are tied to their cell phones, you can go to that URL that Bob just gave us and give on your cell phone, because it will look readable and positive and high quality. It's brand new this week. Can't wait for you to try it out.
Easy and effective. I did it the other day. It's just a piece of cake. So if that's your preferred way of giving, to do it online, take advantage of that.
Yeah. Again, basicgospel.net. And of course, you can click the donate link on any page at the website, basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a question, concerning the script passage of scripture, James 5:15. I think Richard has it up. Richard, would you read that passage for us?
Yeah, but I can't read it just by itself. I have to give some context. Is anyone among you in trouble? This is starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective.
So the central verse there that the question is about is James 5:15. Mm-hmm. This is from Clay, our friend in Hutto, Texas. He says, please comment on this passage, James 5:15, a verse that is sometimes used to take away from Jesus' finished work, of the gospel.
Well, it's very interesting. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. And he goes on to say, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So obviously he's talking about rifts within relationships,
yes,
estrangements that take place. Think in terms of a church split. All of the hurt feelings, all of the pain, all of the agony. If you've ever been involved in a church split, you know exactly what we're talking about. And there's hurt feelings. There's all kinds of deep emotional pain. Well, how is healing going to come about in that particular situation? Well, it starts when we're willing to confess our sins one to another. And when we're willing to pray for each other. And yes, that's what this context is all about. How to handle problems within relationships, problems within community, problems within in local church fellowships. That's what James is addressing here. And he's saying it starts with just simply humility, recognizing truth, admitting your faults one to another, and entrusting this to the Lord and watching the Lord bring about healing in all of those things, emotional healing, relational healing. And if you've been involved in that, you know the physical implications,
yes,
as well. I mean, there are some really tough things that take place to the body when relationships don't work out right, and they continue to be lived out in tension and strife and all of that. That affects the body. And so as those relationships start to heal, you're going to start to see the physical healing as well. But it all gets down to being humble, to recognizing the truth, and admitting to one another what those faults are.
Yeah, absolutely. Clay, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And once again, I'll remind you, friends, that if you have a question you'd like to pose, but you can't get to the phone, why, drop us an email. You can address it to bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, friends, as many of you know, we concluded our study on the New Covenant journey this past Friday. Tomorrow, Friday, of course, is Good Friday, and we'll have a very special program that we've prepared just for this particular day. We hope you will join us for that. 1 week from tomorrow, Friday, April 1st, we'll begin our new study series, and you can use that webpage, basicgospel.net/teaching, to request your copy of the new study guide, which happens to be surrounding Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We encourage you to go to basicgospel.net/teaching to get your copy. Now, from that page, you can order your copy of the new study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the free study notes that accompany each session as they become available. Again, it's all available at basicgospel.net/teaching. A couple of other items I'd like to remind you of as we close the broadcast. We, of course, as always, invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. There are many reasons to join the email list, to stay connected with the ministry. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at that website, basicgospel.net. Also, we appreciate the fact that many of you have taken advantage of the opportunity to download the Basic Gospel app, another wonderful venue to stay connected with Basic Gospel. We hope many more of you will take advantage of it. The Basic Gospel app is now available, and we would love for you to take advantage of that. Well, we're out of time for this edition. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.